This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Wow, good Monday morning. Yes, I'm back. I'm Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 25th, episode 1960, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be back. The whole family's back together again for the first time in a while. But I'll be here all week.
You know what? You've been traveling the freaking world, man, leaving your wife at home alone. I've got to do all this work by myself. Where have you been?
It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to do it all by yourself.
It's, you know what's hard is like you poor thing having to get massages and eat in fancy restaurants and
it's a tough life. Things.
I don't know how you do it.
It's tough life. But you know what? It's a tough life too if you're a bourbon drinker today.
Why is that?
Well, last week in Kentucky, you know, most bourbon, I think it's all bourbon really made in Kentucky. And in the town of Bardstown is the 1792 Bourbon Brewery. Well, I don't know if you drink 1792 bourbon, but you'll be crying because 9,000 stacked bourbon barrels plummeted to the ground Friday at the distillery when a wall collapsed of the building that they were housed in, which looked pretty old, by the way, like a really, really, really old bank barn.
From 1792.
It looks like it was, actually. He said there was, or the police chief said there was no one inside when the roof caved in, so no injuries were recorded. It was unclear whether how much of the bourbon spilled from the barrels, but a nearby creek was of concern because the structure is positioned on a hill. Apparently, they did testing in the creek and found all the fish were drunk and swimming erratically. No, apparently the water came back fine.
No. First of all, like. I know people like bourbon. I am not a bourbon person. For other reasons, but the smell bourbon makes my skin crawl. Like it just like and so if I lived in that vicinity, I would have to move. I'm like, I gotta go. I'm sorry. It smells like, how do you get the smell out of earth? You know, like you just spilled 9,000 barrels into the creek and around surrounding forest.
The fish have never been so happy.
Oh, the fish are like, this tastes like dirt. This is disgusting.
Or they were really happy. One or the other. But 53 gallons of bourbon per container. I just calculated it out. That's 477,000 gallons of bourbon.
Do you know how much money that
is? I know.
Oh my gosh. Look up, Google a bottle of 1970. What is it? 1793?
Yeah, I'll
bourbon and see how much that is because I need to know how much money that is. And then you wonder, like, does insurance cost building, you know?
I mean, literally, this bank barn. This bank barn looks old. I mean, really, really old.
Yeah, poor decision making on their part to not protect their investment a little bit.
I found
better.
It. It's like $30 for a bottle. So that's a lot of money.
So it's not like it's like Woodford Reserve Select where it's like $400.
Right.
Kentucky. Okay, good.
That's right. But anyway, that was an interesting story. Actually, I saw that Mary Kitzmiller's Facebook page and was like, oh, that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah. Gosh, poor people.
And of course, hey, I'm back and we're off the rails and haven't talked about a horse yet. So
okay, it's coming.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
Well, coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the dynamic duo is reunited. So this episode comes with a slightly late topic derailment warning. It's going to happen again, folks, so be prepared. In keeping with the duo theme, our guests Lisa Odom and Sabrina Hannon are going to stop by and tell us about their amazing trek through the Tetons on horseback, one of the most beautiful places on Earth, if pictures are worth it. And next up, Leslie is going to introduce us to Nikki Merle-Smith, who, along with her fiancé, Joel, is going to be taking on the Mongol Derby this year. Talk about the honeymoon being over. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Or just beginning. Or positive, just beginning. Happy thoughts for marriage. It's over for you. You'll never make it. I've only been married.
But is that a bad omen? Is that a bad omen if your honeymoon's on a ride like this and you don't make the end, or somebody breaks something? Is that a bad omen for their marriage?
I think that what's exciting about this is that no matter what happens, it's going to really give them a clear picture of who they are and who they need to be and how they need each other. And, you know, if somebody breaks something, you know, what happens if he falls off and breaks his leg? Does she finish or does she stop?
Oh, good question.
That's a good question.
Oh, we need to ask that. Yeah, we need to ask that.
Write that down.
That's a good question, actually. That's a good question. And I know the answer. They're both eventers. What the hell? He's on his own. I'm keeping going.
You know what, dude? You just go ahead and lay up at the hospital. I will see you in a couple days.
That's right. You'll be fine. They'll take good care of you in the Mongolian hospital. I'll be right along.
Don't be pleasant.
My Daily Winnie is a couple of things. A thank you to Sally and Jill for filling in while I was out in Tallahassee, our state's capital.
It was awful. It was miserable. We hated every second of it.
I know.
We didn't miss you at all. Like, awesome.
I heard they were really good. And also want to welcome new auditors, Jennifer Peake and Jackie Broser. So I want to welcome both of them. And also, we have an auditor with
happy
one of these. And a happy birthday goes out to Marissa Kreidler. Happy birthday to her. It is her birthday today, I think.
Happy birthday, Marissa!
Yay. So, your turn.
Glenn, I don't know if you noticed, but typically at the beginning of the show, like our pre-show meeting, I'm fairly quiet. Because usually
you haven't
woken
up yet. You're
sleeping. Well, I'm still asleep, but also there's a sleeping child in the house. And I would like to point out that the sleeping child is not here and I can just yell because there's nobody home.
What, you
except
you,
for me?
You shipped him off someplace? You found a camp for.
He's 5 years old. He's had his first sleepover last night.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. So. We were at some friends' houses last night and there's like tons of kids everywhere. And we were just having such a great time. And I'm like, dude, I gotta go. It is like 8:15. It's your bedtime. I gotta go. I gotta get up for work. And he's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. You know, makes you feel like an awesome human when your child's like, I don't want to go with you. I want to stay with these people. So I was like, well, that's fine. I'm just going to leave. And he goes, okay, bye. I was like, huh.
Does the other family know he stayed, or was that a surprise?
Yeah. I turn and I go, well, can he have his first sleepover? She's like, sure, why not? So I said, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this. Part of me is like really sad. And then the other part of me wants to run as fast as I can and peel out of the driveway before you change your mind.
And buy a bottle of wine on the way home.
Exactly. No, I had wine at home. Good. Oh gosh. I turned on the TV and watched Yellowstone adult programming really loud.
And you slept through the whole night without interruption.
And I slept all night until the alarm goes off at 4:30. But other than that, it was perfect. So he's still there and they were like, oh yeah, don't feel like you have to come get him super early. The kids are just gonna like make cinnamon rolls and hang out. I'm like, sweet, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes. <that's right. laughs> Well, good for him. He's growing up, the little guy. I know.
He wanted nothing to do with his mama. Bye.
Sick of you. I've been with you
for... It was like a threat. I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll just leave. He goes, okay, bye. Like, what? That used to work.
And Chad is, we haven't talked about Chad recently. He's flying now back to America.
He's in just a month of training. I don't usually like to talk about when he's gone, but he's coming home this week, so I can talk about it. But it's been just hell month. And by the way, we have a new horse boarded here. So that makes 10 horses and 8 stalls. Somebody please buy this damn pony. Gosh. And I'm looking for a place to board Pink. I'm like, I just need less horses. It's like 192 degrees outside and I'm out cleaning stalls, sweating my nuggets off. And it's just insane. It's insane the amount of work. And then I'm by myself with a kid. So it's really frustrating. And I'm fairly tired. So if there's somebody listening who's like, you know what, I'd take that pony and I'll give you $50. I would consider that.
There you go.
Wholeheartedly. And we're going to do a little bit later. We're going to let you guys hear just a smidge of the communication that I've had with people that have sent me a message, because I ask the auditors on our Horse Radio Network auditors Facebook page. I said, what is your go-to website if you're going to horse shop? Because I wanted to make sure I had my bases covered. Facebook at this point, everything I post eventually gets pulled down because they've decided not to let animals be sold on things, you know, like the halter for sale. I just can't do the halter for sale thing. It just seems weird. And I just can't do it. So Facebook is kind of out. So it's like, oh, look at 4 Facebook pages. Those are going away. There's going to be no more horses for sale on Facebook. So you're going to have to go to another site. And so everybody said that aside from Facebook sites, DreamHorse, obviously dreamhorse.com, which we've talked to the founder of DreamHorse, and Craig and some other, you know, Equine Now and all these other things. I figure DreamHorse was the first one everybody said that, and Craigslist.
Oh, so, we have some good Craigslist stuff today.
Damn it. I posted it on Craigslist and I've regretted it every second.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute. But first, over the weekend, it was, well, the Royal Ascot, which is kind of our version of the Kentucky Derby in England. The Royal Ascot is a series of races. The Queen always attends. Victoria has talked about it numerous times over the years on our show.
It's their Derby. It's their fashion.
Everything. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people come out. It's just crazy. And their big race is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, which is a sprint race. And it had some excitement this year, and not necessarily in a great way, but the favorite horse was named Harry Angel. And
H A R R Y.
Yeah, it's Harry, not Harry Angel. It's Harry Angel. I thought of that too. God, we both have a sick sense of humor. So he got fractious in what they call the stalls, which are the starting gates.
Starting stalls.
Yeah. He got fractious, apparently got his leg stuck. And they managed to get his leg out of the stall and get the race started, but he was like hands on the favorite, odds, and they bet heavily over there, as we know, and the odds were on his side. And well, it didn't go well for him because he got his foot stuck in it. They discovered later he had suffered a puncture wound in the hind leg when he finished the race, and he was hopping for a while and then worked out of it and ended up finishing 7th. But let's hear who did win the race, and we'll talk. We have a little bit of a United States connection here, too.
The stand side to try and deliver a challenge over on the far side, projection, and then City Light for France. Merchant Navy moving to Mount for Nowhere. The Tin Man is out of the clear. On the far side is City Light. Inside the final 50, Merchant Navy on the far side, City Light, and Bob of the Hay. City Light on the far side of Merchant Navy.
So it turns out.
I don't understand any of that.
Yeah, so it turns out. You don't speak with a British accent. So it turns out that.
I do, mate. I absolutely do. But it was just too much bloody noise.
Well, it is loud there. So Merchant Navy ended up winning, and he's trained by Aidan O'Brien out of Ireland. This is O'Brien finished as the leading trainer for the 4th consecutive time at the Royal Ascot. So he's kind of the big trainer over there. So he has...
He comes every year.
Yeah, and he had 5 victories at the race meet. So that's pretty good. And so this was a horse out of Ireland that won by the name of Merchant Navy. And let me see here. Harry Angel, who was the favorite, came in seventh. So that kind of caused the odds to change a lot. And some people lost a lot of money. Some people won a lot of money. Bound for Nowhere came in third. And a French horse came called City Light came in second. But so an American Challenger, Bound for Nowhere, which doesn't happen often over there, came in third. So that's what happened there. There was a ton of races. A lot of different cool things went on. They're fun to watch because their racetracks are a little bit different than ours. So they're fun to watch on video. Go check it out, the Royal Ascot 2018. Of course, the Queen was there.
And now, else. I have to ask you a question, Glenn. You've been gone, and you have missed the Zeus saga of getting diagnosed insulin resistance, a little
flare. Did you know he was insulin resistant at all?
Yes, we've been okay. Soaking his hay. I mean, the potential, because he looks, he's got that crusty neck. He just looks like a horse that would have IR. So we've kind of been treating him like he was that kind of horse. And so he actually, we've been soaking his hay for months. But like I said, I took him up to Flagstaff and he would land after the jump. And he's a very generous, brave jumper, but he would land and then crow hop and then land. And as we went along, he would land and flat out buck. And I had one of these new mono flap, big, awesome, expensive saddle pads that I thought, oh, this is going to really help. And then he was doing that and it was a little bit longer, kind of getting over his hips, sliding back. I thought, well, he's bucking because of the saddle pad. So the next day I'd take him out. And I'm like, I'm just going to warm him up and then take him out on course and do the course and see how he does. So I warmed him up, took him out on course, just beginner novice. Jumped for 1, 2, 3, 4. He's crow hopping. 5, he's bucking. 6, it was an explosion. So I had my regular tack on. So I realized something was wrong. Got the vet out. Yeah, you know, just behavior problems, Glenn, if they're out of the blue, a bad behavior, it's not usually them being a jerk. You know, it's not right. Like he's like really being he's just naughty. I hear people say that all the time. Oh, he's just a jerk. Like, no, there's a reason that they manifest behaviors. Horses do not want to land after a jump and work harder by bucking. They just don't. So Zeus is very stoic. He shows no pain.
And he really likes cross country. That's the other thing.
And he really likes it. Yeah. And I remember I picked his hooves after a ride one time. This is like a month ago. And out pops this huge pussy abscess. And I'd already ridden him. And so he does not limp. He does not show pain normally, like a normal horse would. So I thought, well, this must be his way of displaying pain. So we get him there and you know, it's funny. We just had somebody on the show talking about looking at horses and seeing pain, the pain scale with horses. And he had that little crinkled eye. See, she puts the hoof testers on him and he doesn't flinch, but he wrinkled his lip and kind of flicked his eye when you went across his toe. That's it. And usually if you put some hoof testers on a laminated horse, they just light up, about fall over. And he just kind of crinkled his lip. So like, let's take an x-ray. And he had 3 degrees of rotation, which 0 to 5 is very early and manageable and everything like that. So we have to get a muzzle. So I got a muzzle. Day one, it was shredded.
Hey, hold on. Jamie, is your phone near the mic?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. That's better.
That better?
Yep.
Okay. So day one muzzle, like I put it on him day one, I go out there morning of and it's off and it's shredded. And then, so I put like 47 pieces of baling twine and like tied it back together and he's currently wearing it right now, but he's ripped half of it. So he's like grazing like through the side.
Okay. So this is Jamie's Mustang, who is an escape artist out of any gate stall enclosure. What makes you think he was going to keep a muzzle on?
He can open double D snaps, carabiners. It just does not matter. He's now started like putting his hooves. We have the mare motel, so the stalls are just bars. He puts his front feet on the stall door and pushes both front feet like a monkey, like, and then shoves his weight against it. Thank God there's not hinge. They're like completely welded in. He's going to break the weld one day. But I'm like, really? You've never seen a horse put his front feet on a pipe rail and shove it. So he's a complete management nightmare. And so the best thing for him is turnout. Well, now he can't have the dang spring grass that we have.
Okay,
because
isn't it ironic that you have to put a muzzle on a horse when you live in Phoenix where there's nothing but sand and dirt?
I know, but I work really, really hard and I spend a lot of money to have grass here in the desert, okay? And it's very special to me. I like lay on it. I talk to it. I pet it. And I have a pony that has had the same damn muzzle for 5 years and he's never even, he just puts it on. He's like, okay, cool. And then the new horse here, Marvel, wears a muzzle, no problem. And Zeus is just the destruction. So I
what we found, because Scooter has had, you know, he tends to have weight issues, you know, not any fault of my own, but he tends to have weight issues. And we, before we put him on a dry lot, we had to keep the muzzle on him for a long time because we have a lot of grass. And we had the same problem. Now, usually they get help in the removing of the muzzle department in that they pick on somebody so much that the other somebody starts attacking the face and then they get help. They work together to take the muzzle off.
Oh,
so
really?
That's usually what when we found, when we were able to spy on them and see exactly what's going on. The one thing they'll try and do, obviously, rub it on a fence till they break something. But most of the time, it is they were getting help. And we went through a couple different kinds of muzzles. Best Friend's muzzles were the ones we found worked the best for Scooter, that we could actually keep it on his face and we wouldn't destroy them in 2 weeks. We could usually get one season out of them.
See, what I'm finding about the Best Friend's muzzle is it is really, really hot here. And the Best Friend's doesn't quite have enough breathing.
Well, that's because it has a lot of structure to keep it up so it doesn't
tear. But it's like I'm fighting. Should I suffocate him or should I not let him eat? I don't know.
You don't have a dry lot at all either, do you?
No, not really. I mean, I have an arena, but he eats the jumps if I put him in there. So I'd have to clear all the jumps out to turn him out, and then I want to jump, but I have to move all the jumps back in to teach a lesson or something.
He is a management nightmare, isn't he? A Mustang nightmare.
He is a Mustang management nightmare. The wonder the BLM was like, get this horse to the prison, get somebody to adopt him because we can't keep him in his holding pen anymore.
Been,
6 years.
He's letting all his brethren out every day.
Yeah. Like, come on, guys, this way. He's like, you know, figuring a way out of the prison. Like he's dug under, you know, to get out. But yeah, so he's a management nightmare. So I was just curious what you used, what other people use, and how to do it. So I have returned this muzzle. I bought another one, and then I'm returning this one. I'm like, here, Amazon return policy is awesome. It's just like, they just sent me a little like return thing, and I'm just going to write a little note like, hey, this was one day. Actually, three by the time I get the new one in. So it's just a big, he has broken the plastic gland. I had to lock him out of the stalls and bring a muck tub out into the pasture where usually they have stall access to come in and drink. I had to take a muck tub out there because he took the muzzle, hooked it on the hose bib that's in his stall where you turn on the water and pulled. And he bent the whole thing and broke the muzzle. So I don't know if I'm painting a good enough picture, but think just destruction. Just destruction.
You know, I think your horses intentionally find you, so we have good stories to talk about on the air. I think that's why
it works one way or the other. I don't know. I have bought a horse like this with Magic. I thought, well, I'll get Magic because this will be a good story, get something to follow along here. Which, by the way, she is for sale. If anybody is interested in a really nice little pony. Okay.
I don't know. Best Friends were the ones we had the most success with that actually we could keep for a season. The problem with the Best Friends one is the hole area, the rubber part where the hole is, tended to wear out over time and the hole just gets bigger. You know, so that one was the one we had the most success keeping on. But yeah, you have the heat problem. I mean, I don't know how to overcome that one.
Yeah, so I found the tough one, Breathe Easy, proved not to be so tough.
No,
the first round.
Yeah, we found that too.
But I just bought another one
that's
kind of
like
attached,
a knockoff.
Like, really? So yeah. It just has the breathing holes. Then that's what I wanted was the nostril holes are open. So now I've returned it and I've exchanged it for the tough one, Breathe Easy, with the attached halter that like crisscrosses across their face in like 17 different ways. So now we're going with that one. And I'll let you know how that one works. But because tough one, not so tough the first round.
Well,
am I allowed to say brand names on the show?
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. Leave that out. Yeah, we do it all the time. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we'll see how the new one works out, I guess. Let us know, because there's a lot of people that need muzzles and have to deal with it. So,
well, and I got lots of great suggestions from people, but the problem is, like, you have to take into account, number one, it's freaking hot here. So I can't just, like, that pony has a best friend's muzzle. It's lasted 5 years, and I actually cut the nylon over the nostrils for him. I don't think I could do that with Zeus. I think he would use that as he found a weakness,
a weapon,
and would exploit it. So the best friend's one has worked great for the pony. Now, somebody else said the Green Guard muzzles, and those are like $100 and something.
See, that's the other problem. You're experimenting, and these aren't cheap experiments. A lot of them are over $100.
No. Yeah, yeah. So
I don't know why muzzles are so expensive either, to be honest. I don't know.
I think that we need to find a muzzle sponsor and let me try out 47 different muzzles and reviews and all. Okay. That'd be great. Now, speaking of the pony, I did have a couple things that I wanted to go over with you in regards to advertising my pony on Facebook and Craigslist. So I believe we have a sounder. It's only take a minute, Glenn.
Okay.
And now it's time for text message exchanges with people from Craigslist.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, so Craigslist is a hotbed of scams. But I got this email from somebody named Christine Faulkner. That sounds like a legit name. And so the email comes to me. And this is a really lovely written, I rewrote the ad for the pony, and it's a really nice ad. And, you know, it says her price, her age, what she's done. There's pictures because it's Craigslist. There's no charge. I put tons of pictures. And like an hour after I list it, I get this email. I'm like, sweet, Christine Faulkner. Wow. I'm happy to come across this. Magic. The perfect trail pony. $26.50. In parentheses. Please. No punctuation and no capitalization, by the way. Please let me know if it's still available for sale and what's the condition. Get back to me ASAP so we can talk better about the payment. Like, huh. So I sent it to Chad and he's like, well, that sounds vague. Like, you think? I'm happy to come across this. And then the title of my ad. Please let me know if it's still available for sale and what's the condition.
Yeah.
Get back to me so we can talk better about the payment. Yeah, that's a scam. So thanks, Christine. I deleted you. I actually deleted it and then went and recovered it because I knew I wanted to read it to you. Okay. This is another one that I got, and I got this message, and I had to edit my brain and my response, and just, I want you guys to hear this because I want you to know how much this hurt me at a soulful level. Super cute pony. Is she registered? Any video? Price? She is a great pony. She is not registered. Actually, I don't even have a specific breed for her. I do have lots of videos. What would you like to see? By the way, her price is $26.50. Jumping video? I'm hoping she's a quarter horse. I am looking, mind you, I'm hoping she's a quarter horse. I'm looking for a good jumper mare to breed. I'm sorry. I can't breathe. I wrote back, well, this mare has absolutely no discernible genetics. None. This is not a horse that I would breed, and I hope that you would consider breeding responsibly. I'm sorry. Did you just see a 13 three-hand grade non-grade is in the ad, grade pony, and think, wow, I hope she's a quarter horse because I want to breed her, because typically the Grand Prix jumpers are quarter horses.
And they're 13 hands.
And they're 13-3. I got several more that ask a billion questions, and then I write back all the questions, and then like 4 days later they come back with a billion more questions, and I write back, and like 5 days later they come back with like a billion more questions, and then I write back, and then 5 days later they come back and they're like, never mind, sorry, not interested.
Doesn't anybody just come out to see the horse anymore?
You need that no tire kickers caveat in your ad.
Yeah, yeah. That's why people put that in there that we make fun of on Fridays. It's because
but the thing is, somebody was like, you need to put no trades in your ad. But it's funny to me to see what people want to write. And I don't mind responding to the messages. I mean, at this point, I have been offered to trade for two unstarted unbroken Arabians, a small travel trailer, and a boat. And the selling point of the boat was it doesn't eat. So I do have those. Now, finally, I did get this message, and somebody actually getting a little bit more involved, because they actually made me an offer. Somebody, like a real person, contacted me on Facebook and made me an offer. I'm trying to find this offer right now.
$500? Guns. Nicole, trading for guns.
Nicole, no guns. No, nobody's offered me guns yet. I'm just getting a little disappointed.
All of them were offered, the trades were guns. So we have a couple of guests here, and I love this story. We have Lisa Odom and Sabrina Hannon, and I love this story, and I know that we found it on Facebook, which is kind of ironic when you hear this story, but I'm going to say hi to, I hope we have both of them here. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
And we have Sabrina here too, right?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sabrina. Well, Lisa, I'm going to start with you. Lisa, you're from right here where we are in Ocala, right?
I am.
And I want to tell this story in order, because I think that's a really fascinating part of this, is did you have a dream to go riding in Wyoming in the Grand Tetons, or how did that come about? Was it something you've always wanted to do?
Well, I think anybody that loves to be outside and loves to ride horses dreams of, you know, going out west and riding in the mountains. And I mean, I'm a Florida native, so mountains for me have always been, you know, I've been to the hills of North Carolina, and that's my extent of going to the mountains.
Yeah, we don't have many here in Ocala.
So, yeah.
They're not very high, our
right.
hills. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was definitely a dream.
So how did you make that dream come true? Because I think this is a fascinating part of this story.
Well, it's interesting. And you know, Sabrina and I became Facebook friends through a smaller group. And it was actually, well, it was two groups. There was a big group, Horse Trails and Caymans Across America, that has like 73,000 members in the Facebook group. Is how I originally started seeing her videos, where she would post a video of her riding a horse, ponying another horse, and she also had her two wolf hybrid dogs attached to her saddle. And she would ride from her house, and she would just do a little 60-second to 2-minute video panning the horizon. And usually didn't say much. You know, she would show, you'd see the back of the horse's ears, and she'd show the dogs, and everybody's looking around, and everybody's all quiet and peaceful. And I saw these videos, and you would see these, and there'd be snow on the ground, it'd be freezing cold, and I was just captivated, and felt like I just needed to talk to her. And I don't randomly friend people on Facebook, but it just kind of felt like I needed to talk to her. And then we actually ended up in a much smaller group on Facebook. That was the Northwoods Farm Horsemanship Challenge, which was created by a group of girls out west to encourage everyone to get out and ride their horses during the coldest months of the year. So the challenge is you pick one horse, you ride it 30 times, you put in 40 hours of horsemanship, and you have 12 weeks to do it. And there was about 1,900 people in that group this year, and Sabrina and I both happened to end up in that group together. So in that group, you go on Facebook and you post, you know, every time you ride, you know, ride number one, I rode for 2 hours. You know, you talk about what you did with your horse, and you post a picture. And so I started seeing a lot more of her posts on Facebook. And so I sent her a friend request, and I don't know, a week or so later, she accepted it, and we started talking.
And that, so it's interesting. Here's something good happening from Facebook. First of all, there's another story right
there,
right? So that's something.
That's right.
And then Sabrina, so she contacts you out of the blue. How did it come about that you were going to end up riding for a couple of weeks in the Tetons together?
Well, I told Lisa that when I friended her that I don't accept friend requests. I get probably 20 a week. And I keep my friends under 70 on Facebook because I really want to be close to them. And I like to look at everybody's posts. And the thing that captivated me about Lisa was her relationship with her sweet boy, Dooley. And I looked at her posts and I thought, well, she and her horse are in love with each other. Maybe I would like to be friends with her. And she lives in a warm place. So when it's, you know, minus 20 outside, she's riding around in shorts and it would be fun to see that. So I friended her and I decided in April, early April, that I was going to manifest a dream I've had since I was five. And I saw a picture of the Grand Tetons on Sunset Magazine, the cover of Sunset Magazine. And I've lived in the Tetons and visited, but I've never ridden my own horses until October 2014. And that trip was a bit difficult. So I wanted to try again. And I decided this year that I was going to do it, make it really happen, what I imagined. And so I invited her. You know, it's a big deal to come all the way from Florida to a place you've never been before and ride a horse you've never been on before with a person that you've never met before.
Right.
And I'm an unusual person. You know, I'm autistic and I am a severe introvert. And so I'm not just your, you know, happy-go-lucky, let's go for a ride kind of person. And so it, you know, I mean, it wasn't just an easy thing.
Well, let me just say, knowing that you're very brave for coming on the show and talking about this, this has got to be pretty, pretty stressful for you. So we do appreciate you coming on and talking about your adventure.
Oh, well, thank you.
So Lisa, yeah. Tell us about the trip. What did you actually do?
So I flew out to Montana. I flew into Bozeman on a Friday night. I got there really late and Sabrina came and picked me up at the airport and brought the dogs along so that I could meet the dogs. And, we went back to her house and spent Saturday, packing things up. I mean, I've done quite a bit of camping with my horses, where, you know, typically three or four friends of mine, we go and go somewhere. We don't usually go very far, maybe 2 or 3 hours out of Ocala and stay for 2 or 3 nights and, you know, camp out and cook out. And we're pretty primitive about it. We have bumper pull horse trailers and we sweep out the back and set up a cot and we sleep in the back. And
so what was different about this ride? Talk about this ride.
Yeah, so this one, the plan was, originally that was, we had a similar plan, and after we did a little more research, we found out that that wasn't really the best plan, so we made arrangements for us to stay at the KOA campground in Jackson, which is a campground that's right on the Snake River, and they've got some nice little log cabins that are basically just like a little 12 by 12 room with a set of bunk beds and a full-size bed and a refrigerator, and that's it. There's nothing else in there.
How was the ride? Like, I mean, that's the most beautiful place on earth. You got out, you rode the horses.
So that day, the actual travel day, we stopped at Jackson Lake Lodge and we rode the horses to Oxbow Overlook, which is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's a nice little well-traveled trail. They have a group, you know, they take out group rides from the barn there, but we pulled up and said, hey, can we park here? Can we use the trails? And they said, yeah, go for it. And we rode and you ride through, up and down some hills and there's some lakes and there's the sage growing and, Sabrina knows what all the flowers are. I don't know what they are, but there's these beautiful purple and yellow flowers that are just growing everywhere. And
Indian paintbrushes.
Finally get up to the top you get to the top of this little peak and you look over and you're overlooking Jackson Lake and Elk Island, and the Tetons are in the background. And it's, my initial reaction was, that's just fake. Like, that does not look real. That looks like a painted backdrop in an old Western movie. Because that's really how it felt to me. It really did not feel real.
Absolutely. The Tetons are the most dramatic and most beautiful, and actually, and oddly enough, the youngest mountain range on the planet. They're like, you know, billion years old. So they're beautiful and they're spectacular. And that's what makes them so interesting, is there's no foothills on the front side facing Jackson. They just dramatically rise straight up. And I'm probably doing them not enough justice, but they're spectacular. So how can people just like take their horses and go do that? Was there a specific website that you went to, something you just parked and went kind of thing? Do you have to have a pass?
If someone would like, or if a group would like to do this, the best thing to do is to first call the backcountry office of Grand Teton National Park.
Okay.
They're going to be your regulation resource and your resource for whether or not you can park your trailer in the parking lots. There really is only one parking lot, or I should say two, that accommodate large rigs. You know, we had a small two-horse bumper pull and we didn't have any trouble, but if you have something larger than that, you're going to need to talk to the backcountry office about the conditions of parking. When this is high season, people are parking on the roads. There's not even any place to park a car. So, you know, you need to be really cautious. Call the backcountry office of Grand Teton National Park. Look at String Lake parking lot and Coulter Bay parking lot. Those are actually designed for large rigs for the people who bring boats in. The second thing you need to do is contact the Grand Teton Backcountry Horsemen. They're absolutely fabulous. And they will answer any question that you have about being in the backcountry or in the front country.
Awesome.
And then the third thing you would need to do is to call the Jackson Hole Chamber of Commerce and get as many maps and, you know, information that you might need.
Yeah, and because this is not like this is not just a place where you're just going on a trail ride. There's like bears and moose and elk and buffalo.
If you grade the rides from 0 to 10, this is somewhere between 5 and 10. You have to be ready to encounter people walking by you with their fishing poles, or people dragging portaging their watercraft, or you have to be really prepared to be swarmed by mosquitoes, and I mean really swarmed.
Wow.
You need to be prepared to Lisa and I rode the backside of String Lake and it was a 9 in a couple places. And I've been riding for 50 years. I've ridden in every state west of the Rockies. And that was challenging for me. And there's a couple spots that were just, you know, so you better really know what you're doing. You don't want to go there and say, oh, I'm just going to go take a walk around the lake. It doesn't work that way there.
Right.
And you definitely can run into a bear.
Did you run into bears?
Drop off. No.
Okay.
And the other thing that people have asked me about is Turpin Meadows, which is a place to horse camp, you know, rough it camp. And that is, you need to contact the Forest Service for that and ask them about the conditions there because of high water conditions this year, grizzly bear activity. The trail outside that takes you out of Turpin Meadows is really dangerous right now. So this isn't something you just do. You just show up and, you know, camp and, you know, make do with it. And, you know, people have contacted us on our Facebook page and we've given them lots and lots of information. I've posted a very detailed description of everything that we did and learned.
Well, great. We are running out of time. We are so late, but because this is just so fascinating. Where can people get a hold of you if they have some more questions?
Well, we have a Facebook page, our 2018 Teton Adventure.
Our 2018 Teton Adventure, as we said. So cool. Check that out.
Lots of great pictures, too.
Have been a pleasure to talk to. Thank you so much for coming on, and congratulations on your adventure and finding new best friends.
Yeah,
thank you.
So that's where you go to your, well, that's where you just were in May, right?
I just left there. It's the most beautiful place on earth. I mean, seriously, because Chad, there's very few places, but Chad being in the military, that he's never been that I have been to. And I've been to Jackson Hole several times. It's kind of my like my little healing place. You just stare at the mountains and you just feel better. So that's where I just was training that Frisian. And with the dramatic backdrop at the Triangle X Ranch, and I'm going back there next spring. They've asked me to come back and start two horses for them. So sold. I'll do it.
They appear to have a lot. They have a lot of pictures on there, but they appear to have run into not bears, but many other animals, including buffalo. So,
there's buffalo just everywhere and elk everywhere. And it's just utterly amazing. You can see a fox like trot by. I mean, it's just crazy.
So you would go there and ride out into Tetons for 14 days then?
I would do 14 days straight, but I would come back home and take a shower. that 14 day ride. No, I'm too old for that. No, I was too old for that. I was born too old for that. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. For some reason, getting clean is important to us. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about Omega Alpha before we get our next guest on. So a couple weeks ago, if you recall, Dr. Chang came on and they did a giveaway for the Adrena FX, the hormone and sugar normalizing formula. And they were giving away for the first 10 people. I want to hear from you guys because I'm super excited because I messaged them and I was like, hi, I have a horse that was just diagnosed as insulin resistant. And basically what it means is he has like equine diet. This is how I have to describe it to I have a lot of people that have looked at my Facebook page and gone, what's up with your horse? He can't eat grass. That sounds really weird. And to non-horse people, horses that can't eat grass is very weird. They're like, that's a bizarre thing. All horses should eat grass. I'm like, well, he's a Mustang. He's supposed to walk 100 miles a day and forage for like sagebrush, you know? And here he is like eating this lush, rich spring grass. And so, I basically have had to tell people the way my vet said, tell people is that he has equine diabetes. I'm like, that's much easier to tell people. So, what they have this product called ADREN-FX, ADREN-FX hormone and sugar normalizing formula. So I said to the vet, well, I was like, well, I just got this sample of this stuff here. And I hand it to Dr. Hendricks and she looks at the bottle and she reads the ingredient. And she goes, oh yeah, that's really, really good. Yeah. Give that. Definitely give that. And she's like, and can I have the name of that company? Cause she wants to start recommending it to other people because I guess the ingredients, there's things like licorice and ginger and potassium and cinnamon and ginseng and chromium and all of these things that are normal for, you know, helping balance the sugar. But then there's things like Eleutherococcus centicosis, ashwagandha, astrologicus, romano glutinosa. I don't know. Whatever. There's licorice and it tastes like licorice because I tasted it because, you know, I have to taste all my omega alpha supplements. So anyway, my doctor read the ingredients and really recommended it. So what we're doing right now is a 60 cc, like pull up the syringe, pull out 60 cc's and I put it in his little like fat boy food. He gets like a handful of this like high fat, no sugar kind of food. And I put it in there. Oh my God, he sucks it dry. He loves this stuff. It's very easy to give and to feed. So definitely check it out. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Get the Adrena FX.
Thank you very much. I'm hearing your phone again. I don't know why. We have coming up here very shortly. Leslie's going to be joining us today. I don't know quite what we're going to be talking about, actually. We'll find out. But I wanted to remind everybody that's an auditor that tonight, Monday night, it is the 25th at 8 o'clock. We're going to be starting something new in the auditor room, and we're going to be trying to, as many Mondays as we can, do a Facebook Live. And sometimes they're going to be with guests from the horse world. Sometimes they're going to be with other auditors, and I figured who better to start with than one of our otters that just got back from an amazing trip to China. And she's also a writer for our Rest of the Scoop stories over on the Stable Scoop radio show. And she's a writer for Horse Nation. And that's Biz Tham is going to be joining us on Facebook Live tonight at 8 o'clock. So if you can tune in live, that would be great. If you have any questions about Horse Radio Network, you have any questions for Biz, or you just want to listen in. And we're going to be doling out the first five products of the next batch that are going out for review from horselovers.com. So we're going to be doing that too. We're going to do a little trivia at the end and hand out those five products for review. So if you're ready to start reviewing another product and get some free stuff to test out, then tune in tonight at 8 o'clock. Live listeners will be the only ones that get to do that. So I hope you can join us. That'll be in the auditor room, HRN auditors for the auditors. If you're not an auditor yet, you have today to join and join us tonight. So go to horsesinthemorning.com. You'll see an auditor banner on the homepage. Just click on that. And for as little as a dollar a month, you can join us for that as well. As a matter of fact, we have one of our auditors talking about it.
I am April, and I'm an HRN auditor because I value the knowledge, inspiration, and entertainment provided by all of the shows on the network, and I'm happy knowing my contribution is helping to ensure the fun will continue in the future. If you love HRN, you should become one too.
To become an HRN auditor and to join the party, please visit horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner on the right side of the page. For as little as a dollar a month, you too can join the party. Well, we hope that you do join us as an auditor. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate all of those who are auditors currently. Well, let's see here. Do we have our Monday 10 o'clock guest for the last, like, 18 years, Leslie Wiley, on with us?
We do.
Yay. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Good to have you here. Good to talk to you again. So, I know we were supposed to have a Mongol Derby guest, but I think they had other things today, right? It came up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right, good. So now that is coming up. We want to remind everybody the Mongol Derby is like, what, 6-8 weeks away? It's pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so yep, it's creeping up.
We'll be having more guests on to talk about that over the next several Mondays. But right now, one of the hot things that's happening in the horse world is, of course, WEG is getting closer and closer. I think we're like 70 days away from World Equestrian Games in Tryon, and they're going to be picking teams right now. And of course, the eventers are looking at the same thing. You guys just did an article about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I know. It's like between the Derby and the WEG, like I just August, September, I don't know if I'm going to be sleeping. I have ulcers by the end of it. I'm not sure. So the final for the eventing team, the final selection trial was Le Moulin in Germany, which was last weekend, which was such a bummer. On the U.S. front, Boyd Martin was winning the whole thing on Chamouari and through the cross country. And then the horse like sort of strained a hind tendon and they pulled him out before the final horse inspection on Sunday, which is just
how heartbreaking is that?
Right. And you know what? I don't think actually Boyd has ever won a 4-star. So this would have been his, you know, his first 4-star win. I think it would have made that horse a lock for the WEG team. And instead the horse got injured and I think he's 16 and Boyd, you know, it's just like going from like winning a 4-star to, you know, he's like, well, this horse isn't going to compete at the, upper level, you know, this is his last probably international appearance. Ugh. So like all to nothing, man. Horses, they just stab you in the heart.
You know, he was winning after dressage and the cross country and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Really heartbreaking.
I don't think I ever realized he's never won a 4-star because he's just always up there, you know.
He's just always up there. I mean, just always so consistently at the top, but I don't think he's actually had a win. And that's why, you know, I think luckily he's got some other rides back at the barn that are still good, that are good WEG mounts for him. But, you know, I think they would be amiss to leave him off the team. He just is always, he's just solid as a rock, right?
Now, is the WEG actually a 4-star or 3-star level as far as the cross country is concerned?
I believe it's 4-star.
4-star.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Olympics. It's 3-star.
3-star. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it was Boyd has 100% cross country reliability rating at championships. So the last two Olympics, his last two WEG appearances, he's gotten around cross country with no jump faults. So you got to put him on. You got to put him on the team. But yeah, they're supposed to make. I think we're expecting a team announcement any day now.
Had your predictions, I noticed, in this article about, or Venting Nation did, about mm-hmm. who they were predicting would be on the team. The way it's going to work is it's going to be five combinations on the team, so five horse rider mm-hmm. combinations. Four of them will compete, but now there's a bunch of alternates, too, that will go into the training camp, mm-hmm. and they'll go along in case horses come up lame and things, because mm-hmm. when they're picked, right, so if Boyd is picked with, or let's take Philip Dutton and Z is on your mm-hmm. list of predictions. If Z comes up lame in between now and WEG, then they'll go to the alternates, and that's why they bring them along, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, okay. Right. Sure.
So Philip couldn't replace a horse. It's the combination that's picked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that they could replace a horse. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
the team can pretty much do whatever they want. At that
right.
point.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like, good thing you have two horses that can jump around the WEG, probably.
Yeah, you know, okay.
So, which he actually does. So, so that's definitely one person that we feel like, you know, looking at everybody's results and qualifying competitions, like they're going to put Big Phil on the team. You know, he's an anchor, just like Boyd, so much international, championship experience. And he's got a couple horses that could do it. Probably his top pick would be the horse named Z, which he finished Kentucky on his dressage score. He's just strong over all three phases. So that's kind of what we'd put him, the horse we'd pull out of the barn for him to do WEG on, I guess.
And then Lauren Kiefer on Veronica is not a surprise because they have done mm-hmm. so well.
So well. Yeah. That is a solid as a rock lady combination. And, she finished, badminton in eighth place. She is just like, you know, she was always second at Kentucky last year. She is just like chomping at the bit to get back out there because she had that really just unlucky fall at the Rio Olympics in 2016. So we want her to, like, she's going to come back out with a vengeance. We all want that for her. Like, go get your redemption, girl.
And then Lynn Szymanski and Donner, boy, that's a name, but you know, that's a horse name we've been hearing for years.
Right, man. I can't believe
it seems
that
like 10
like
years we've been
now.
Hearing about Donner.
Right?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they've, that's another one that just like they put them on the team, WEG, the Olympics, and they just show up. Right. So, and the horse is 15, you know, off track thoroughbred. They call him the deer, runs like a deer, still going strong. So,
and Donner's always been good at cross country, and in past history has not been great at dressage, but has mm-hmm. really improved over the last 2 years at dressage.
Yeah. 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 Sixth place at Burley last year, you know, so that it just means, you know, he's sixth at Kentucky this year. You know, he looks like he can hang right up there with the best of them. And that's what we need.
And of course, Boyd. And which horse are you predicting with Boyd of his 1,000 horses?
I don't even know how you pronounce this horse's name, Setterleg. But I think it's something weird like Shetterleg. But it's a funny little horse. It's a little Tricaner gelding that just keeps stepping up and stepping up. And he has like a little bit unorthodox form, but he's, was third at Fair Hill last year. He finished 11th at Kentucky and show jumps really well. And, I think, luckily Boyd's got Boyd's got a couple horses in the barn that could show up for him.
And then Marilyn Little, of course, on RF Scandalous, mm-hmm. which is another name we've been hearing for a long time.
Yeah. And she's, you know, she's one of those that you put her side by side with the best in the world, and you know, she can be right up there. So you know, especially in the dressage, she's just you know, could give about just about anybody in the world a run for their money. So
and then other names on the list, I'll just run down as far as alternates, is one of our hosts here on the Eventing Radio Show, Liz Holiday Sharp, is on that list. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. And we have Will Coleman showing up, Buck Davidson. These are all names that if you're an eventing fan in the United States, you've heard. Sharon White, Tammy Smith is on that. Jamie, did you know that? Tammy Smith is on that list.
I did not.
Yeah. So Kim Severson's on the list. So we've got a whole bunch of names that everybody recognizes. Were there any mm-hmm. surprises? I mean, do you think there's anybody that's going to surprise us?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I kind of don't think so. I think that when they come to team selection, they, you know, it's like not necessarily a time to take risks. They're looking for, you know, except for maybe the individual.
Do you think there's added pressure too, Leslie, when the World Equestrian Games is here in the United States? I think that all the United States are going to be extra careful because who wants to lose on our own home territory, right? We all want to win at home. So,
I can't wait to get out there and like the you know, like the U.S. cheers that are going to go up around that course when our riders are going around. Like, I was going to, like, you know, put make your hair stand on end a little bit. Like, this really, I think we've got a special competition coming up.
I do too. Very good. Well, you can find that article over on Eventing Nation. Now, real quick, you guys had an article over on Horse Nation that I wanted to talk about for a minute because I thought it was funny and it was very tongue-in-cheek, and I'm bringing it up now. And it was called The 10 Ways to Make Sure Your Horse is Absolutely Happy. And I'm just doing this to make Jamie cringe because everything she's learned at Monty Roberts School, she's going to cringe at every one of these. Okay, you ready?
Okay, so here's the thing, because I saw that, but I haven't read it yet. And I was about to click on it and read it and see if I had happy horses. So let's hear it.
All right, so this is how you can make your horse happy. Now, keep in mind, it's a little tongue-in-cheek. And this was written by Kristen, of course.
No, I was actually Maria.
Oh.
She's so funny. She's always coming up with these, like, snarky little pieces.
Now, the thing is, we've all done these things at one time or another. And she writes, a happy, willing partner means letting your horse do everything he wants, right? Well, yeah, I might be a little guilty of that with Scooter. Well, there's always too much of a good thing. So this is her tongue-in-cheek list. Number one, grab your horse from the barn, tack him up, and then decide not to ride that day. That makes your horse extremely happy.
I love it when I used to board at a barn and I would drive, you know, 35 miles one way to get to the barn and somebody's out there hanging out and they're like, you gonna ride? What the hell do you think I drove here for? Just to hang out with you? I don't think so.
We've all seen people do it, though. They tack up their horse, they put the saddle on, they end up talking to their friends, they untack the horse. They never meant to ride that day. It was tacking practice, you know?
Tacking practice.
Yeah, if that's a word. Two, hook up the trailer and try to get him to load. When he refuses, stuff a treat in his mouth and take him back to the barn.
He must know something about the trailer that you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Three, when your horse wants... now, be honest about the trailer thing. There's been times after you're half an hour, 40 minutes into it that we've all wanted to do that. I mean, just... quit that day and walk away, but not the right thing to do. Three, when your horse won't stand still to be shod for the farrier, find a holistic barefoot trimmer whose star sign matches your horse and who also appreciates you shoveling treats into his mouth during the whole process.
Have you seen that duct tape video where the people put duct tape on the horse's lip to like distract it? There's another video where the farrier takes a piece of duct tape and walks over to the owner and puts it over her mouth.
Oh my gosh, that's better. So funny.
That's yeah. a better one. And back to the trailer thing, Glenn. Let me tell you, the day that I learned patience was the day that my horse, after 6 hours, wouldn't load, and I went behind him with a big stick up from a tree, and I whacked him in the butt, and he whacked me in the ribs and broke all of them. I was like 15. So that's the day I learned patience with horses, and now I know a better way to load horses. But I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that.
No. Those ribs still hurt.
Yeah. This farrier thing just slays me. Like, I'm like, yes, I know this farrier who, you know, it's like the farrier like drives a Prius and and like they're like, are these shoes organic?
Yeah, I'm sorry, is this copper that was naturally mined in a nice way that doesn't take from the environment? Yeah, yeah. I get you.
Recycle shoes.
And I'm going to do everything super natural with my horse because I'm going to natural balance his shoes, Leslie. I'm a natural everything, but I'm going to put him in a stall and feed him concentrated food twice a day and then lunge him in 20-meter circles.
Right.
Because that's supernatural too.
Speaking of supernatural, number four, and I am not guilty of this, of course. Never, ever bathe your horse. Your horse spent a lot of time trying to get that dirty. If he wants to be hosed off, he'll let you know when you're filling the water troughs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're all guilty of that.
I was reading something last week where they were like, if you want to take care of your horse's hooves, treat water like battery acid. And no, not going to do that.
If you want hooves that are hard as rock, I mean, yeah. It's like, but we've all been guilty of that. You see the horses roll and you go, well, it is kind of a natural protectant for flies and stuff, so I'm not going to hose them up today.
Mm-hmm. I figure Thor, when you bathe him, you can't even walk him back to his stall before he drops and rolls. And I'm like, well, it just must be like a Mustang natural tendency to want to protect themselves. So I'm like, go for it, dude.
Mm-hmm. Another one. Don't ever ride your horse. He's your pet. And don't ride your dog, do you? Why would you discriminate? I can tell you that about 75% of the people in this neighborhood have never ridden their horse. And we live in a horsey neighborhood.
We have a lot of lawn ornaments in this neighborhood too. I think it's like when you board your horses and you spend that much money every month, then you probably do more with them. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I have a boarder that comes out once a month. So what am I talking about?
Yeah, we used to have some that came out twice a year. And they would pay the board on time every month. I don't get that. But, you know. But then there's people who have boats that pay for, you know, for dock space and to have their boats maintained and go out on it twice a year. So same thing, yeah. Right?
I never said that boating or horses were good investments. Okay. Not going to see a big return.
Yeah.
No. We know a couple people like this. Only sweet feed and alfalfa must be fed to your horse. Regular grass, haze, and grain without molasses are tasteless. We have all evolved for millions of years, and now we have things called taste buds to feed anything lacking flavors, like going back to the caveman times. And right now, Scooter's in the caveman times because he's fat. So he would totally agree with this, that we're...
Seeing that I live in an equestrian neighborhood, there's a lot of, and I'm using finger quotes, equestrians in the area. And when I brought Magic home, you know, she's like, she's a tiny pony, and she was emaciated. She was just skin and bones, right? And this guy down the street, he drives this big old loud truck. He's a roper, and he drives up and he rolls down the window. He goes, "What's that?" I go, "It's a little rescue pony." He goes, "I'm gonna tell you how to feed it. You want to make that thing fat, shiny, alfalfa, and senior. Just shovel it to it." I was like,
oh my goodness.
Oh my God, this is a pony that's starving.
Dr. Wendy just had a heart attack.
Yeah, oh my God, I had a heart attack.
You ever heard of Founder?
Yeah.
Have it full of alfalfa and senior, man. You'll fatten that thing right on up. I was like, thank you. Thank you for that. Like, what do you say? Oh my God.
When your horse acts buddy or barn sour, make sure he gets his way. If he bucks or rears under saddle, you should get off and walk him
home. Take him home.
Yep.
Take him home. Oh,
if you love him, you'll walk him home.
Okay. I want to read the next one.
Okay. You go ahead.
Owner of a mare.
Okay.
Don't don't suppress your mare's inner witchiness. She's mean for a reason, and the reason is probably you. When she pins her ears back at you, give her her darn space and whatever else she demands. She's trying to communicate with you, and you're not listening. Haven't you heard of horse whispering? Maybe you need to go to another clinic. Okay, I think this was written by the internet, I think.
Can you read that again and substitute husband in there somewhere? Because it makes a lot more sense. Like, I have pinned my ears at you. Go away. Or a five-year-old child. That works, too. So,
goodness.
Okay, you're right. Let me read that as a guy. Only I'm doing it the other way. Don't suppress your wife's inner witchiness. She's mean for a reason, and that reason is probably you. When she pins her ears back at you, give her her darn space and whatever else she demands. She's trying to communicate with you, husband, and you're not listening. Haven't you heard of I don't know if we could do wives whispering. But maybe you need to go away should be the next sentence.
I don't understand why this is so funny. I think this is very appropriate.
Yeah.
God, this one works for
humans. Oh my God. If I hear, what is that box at the front door? None of your business. It's not for you. Your name is not on it. Go away. Or like,
okay, in his defense, he does earn most of the money.
Did you just take Lucky to the vet again last week? Go. Oh, I'm pinning my ears at you right now. Go away. I'm going to take the dog to the vet. I can't just let him suffer with itchy skin. Okay?
As husband and wives, we do find those little things that we always go back to, don't we? It's those little annoying things. Lucky and you. For 30 years, you just go back to the same things. It's the same things over and over
yours?
And over again.
What is yours and your wife's?
Oh, I don't know. Jennifer could probably tell you better.
sure she could.
But I'm putting her on mute, so she's not going to be talking right now. How about you, Leslie? What are those things for you?
What's the lightning rod in your relationship?
Yeah, I'm married to Horse Husband of the Year 2017. Haven't you heard? He's perfect.
So, yeah, the lightning rod in our house is Lucky. There's dog. Do you have, like, a cat? Or do you have something that – come on. Give it up.
I'm like, what is it? He actually is really pretty perfect.
You know, mine, I guess, would be spoiling the horses. Jennifer, I constantly want to spoil the animals. All the animals, actually. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. she's always on me about...
You're the freaking vending machine. You can't look at a horse or a dog without giving it a treat.
Oh, my God. Could you talk to my husband? Because Chad will be like, how much hay are we going through now? Hey, are you feeding these horses a day? Like, babe, there's freaking 10. Yeah, we're going through more.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm the one that's always asking Jennifer, don't we need more hay? It's just the opposite. I'm always going, don't we need more hay? We're like down to 4 bales. We need to get more. Mm-hmm. She's like, 4 bales will last them 3 weeks, but we're running out of hay. We need to get the hay now. So yeah, I'm just the opposite. I want to feed him too. I get that from my mother. She fed everybody. My mother was one of those people. You walked in the house, you had a plate in front of you. If it was midnight, she would have a plate in front of you, and you had to eat it. So that's where I get it from. I don't have kids, so I have to feed the animals. And our greyhound is not fat. Well, maybe a little. It's probably the fattest greyhound you've ever seen, actually. All right. Well, thank you, Leslie. You can find that article also over in Horse Nation. Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, all the nations. Sport Horse Nation, Jumper Nation, a lot of nations you can visit.
Yeah, and, you guys have a great rest of the week.
All right, good. And we'll try and get one of those Mongol Derby people on next week to find out how panicked they are at this point. this close. All right. Thanks, Leslie.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm sure Jennifer can't think of anything else to add to that list. So, no.
Nope. Just cut, nothing.
End it now. Just don't start it, Glenn. And definitely don't say a thing about her.
No.
Okay?
No.
Just don't.
I just got perfect. Home from 4 days away. I'm not saying anything. Not a thing.
Exactly.
Everything is perfect.
And with that, we should end. We should wrap this up before somebody gets in trouble, because I know my husband actually possibly is listening right now. And I love you, baby.
Okay. You just went to the trouble corner, so
well, it's not like I'm lying. He the dog, lucky the dog is the lightning rod and the amount of hay that I feed.
Well, now let's be fair. Lucky the dog probably has cost you about $100,000 over the past.
Well, I always tell him, I'm like, hey, we started a GoFundMe for him and people paid. They were like, yeah, that was like $2,000 ago.
Or more. But he's
Lucky's
so cute.
Problem, he's having some skin issues and some sebaceous cysts, and he's having a little bit of a gland problem, and he's having, so, but you know what? His ears are good.
That's good, because they're big. They're really big ears. And he is cute as a dickens, and he's a super nice dog.
He's the most perfect puppy in the whole wide world.
And Chad, so he will probably stop causing vet bills now. It's all taken care of.
I think what I would like is for Lucky to not continually blow abscesses on my nice chair.
And we're going to leave everybody with that picture for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I'm like, why is there blood on my chair again? Yeah. We're working on it, people. We're working on it. We're on our fourth antibiotic now.
Tomorrow we have Tara. We have the Western episode for you on tomorrow's show. So we'll be joining you with a little bit of Western talk. And actually, Jennifer's heading out to Tara's place at the end of the week. So going to be riding and doing some cow work.
That's great. Yeah. You get to go away.
Yeah, Jennifer gets to go away this time. As we have a full week of shows for you. So please do join us. We're glad to have you here. Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, geld. Don't breed ponies that don't need to be having babies.
13 hands, it's not going to be a Grand Prix jumper.
No. Oh my God, no.